Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, you know I'm going to ask you to stay with me. Please, listen, stay with me. It'll be 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, and we don't use any manipulation. You realize that. We don't have agendas. We're not trying to con anybody. We're not trying to sell anything. We're not trying to hustle you. The only thing this radio show is about is giving accurate information. And that information, we trust, will help you verify and indeed identify God's plan for your life. Now, what you do with it is up to you. You know, certainly I would love for you to orient and adjust to the plan, but you might not. You may decide to go down that my way highway that you've been on for so many years. And someday you may figure out that the my way highway is a dead end. It's a shame to see people waste, as I've done too, waste many years when we make a bad decision sometimes. Those are times we cannot get back. And that's why the Lord encourages us to redeem the time in the Scriptures. So as we continue our study today on the flatline, remember the flatline is a term, military term, for the forward line of troops. And remember that we're using 10 problem-solving devices, calling them the flatline. Those 10 unique problem-solving devices we've been teaching on this radio show for 5 years, and they include the rebound technique, they include the filling of the Holy Spirit, they include the faith rest drill, they include grace orientation, they include doctrinal orientation, they include a personal sense of destiny, they include personal love for God and impersonal love for others. They include the happiness of God or sharing the happiness of God, and they include occupation with Christ. We spent hours going over each one of these. And if there's any of them you have a question about, you can always write to me. I'll always be glad to answer your letter or to try to give you information. We have all of these in a book. The book is available free, no charge. But in order to get it, you're going to have to request it. So you can write to us at P.O. Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama. And that zip code is 35054. Or you could go to the internet and just simply type in rickhughesministries.org. And there you can email us. We'll send you this book free of charge. It's called Christian Problem Solving. We'll send you as many as you'd like. If you want more than one, let us know. But this is a book that God has used. It's a small booklet, and it actually has two books in one. The other side is a crash course in basic Christianity. So we put these two books together and put them into one volume. And I think you'll enjoy it if you don't have it. So don't send money. There's no charge for this. It's free. But if you'd like to have it, let us know. Now, I want to continue our study that we have been doing on a life-changing experience. And I want to read to you. I don't do this very often, but today I want to do this. I get letters from time to time from people and listeners in various places. We have people that listen in California. We have people that listen in Wyoming. We have people that listen in Illinois. We have people that listen all across this country, all the way from the Deep South to New York. And this is a letter that I've gotten. Just came in recently. But I thought it was well written, and there's some points I want to make with it. And by the way, if you'd ever like to write, feel free to do so. I enjoy being encouraged and hearing from you about how God has used the Word, the Scriptures that we give you, to give you direction. This person writes, "You don't know me, but you have been my best friend for the last 7 months. This person has been through a lot of trouble in their life and has been involved in alcoholism and divorce. But anyhow, this person goes on to say this. He said, he was staying with some people that were helping him, and he said, as they left the house for church, I felt the need to hear God's word, but I didn't know the schedule of any of the churches in town. But I remembered hearing about a Christian radio show, and that would be you. I've never heard his word put forth so straight, so clear, and with such meaning and purpose, in a way that could be applied to everyday life immediately. He goes on to talk about how he grew up in a home that was riddled with problems, and how he was a lost soul, but he acted like a Christian. Then he says that was just ritual without reality. And he says, I've learned from you that I was living on pure, raw emotion with no real answers in my life. I was living 100% of the flesh and dying inside. And then he says, I now listen to one of your shows every day, right down to the verses, and look them up and study. Repetition. That's right, we talk about repetition. He said, I practice the 10 problem-solving devices basically every moment that I'm awake. I'm having to rebound less now, that means confess a sin, as I catch myself, and I'm thinking, reacting, and speaking differently in the first place in the moment. I have peace, and I'm no longer afraid. Great letter from a listener. How much I appreciate that. And our prayers, and we've written this person back, and our prayers are that the Lord will answer his request. So, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, we talked about it's a life-changing experience, but it's a spiritual change. It's not an outward change. It's not something that anyone's going to be able to see on the outside. What basically we told you in review, that it's an inside change, that you become a new person in Christ. And the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. And then we saw where God has a new plan for your life. And we read to you Jeremiah 29:11, where the prophet Jeremiah spoke for God, saying this, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I told you there are three categories of God's will. I mentioned the directive will of God, where this is something that God wants you directly to do, which is, number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and number two, to have doctrinal orientation and grow in grace. And then I talked about the permissive will of God, and this is where God will allow you to mess up so you learn. Sometimes we are so bullheaded and hard-headed. I know you're not, but everybody else is. We have to learn the hard way. And then I talked about the overruling will of God. And this is where the Lord sometimes will step in to keep you from self-destructing. But the point was that no one could ever know the will of God apart from learning God's word. And then I talked about the three checkpoints in the will of God. How you must understand the geographical will of God, where does he want me to be, and what does God want me to do, and what does God want me to think. It's important that you understand these things. If you're ever going to understand your destiny in Christ as being a member of the royal family of God, he does have a specific plan for you. And so your new purpose in living is the execution of that plan now that you're a Christian. And you have a new priority now in your life. Matthew 6:33 says you're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things would be added to you. And you have a new plan, God's new plan for you. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 9:23, don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom, and don't let the mighty man glory in his might, and do not let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that seeks glory, glory in this, that he understands me and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. And I challenged you there. I told you there's a difference between knowing God and understanding God. Many people know God through Jesus Christ. Many people have, in fact, accepted Christ as their Savior. But many people never go on to understand the God that loves them. That's why we have a Bible. That's why we have a protocol plan. Once we become believers in Jesus Christ, we have a new phase in our life, and we are to learn how to operate in that phase. We are to learn how to think, and that requires that we have a renovation of thinking. Romans 12:3, stop thinking in terms of arrogance, beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility, as God has designed for each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. So God wants you to renovate your thinking. This means instead of thinking in terms of human viewpoint, you think in terms of divine viewpoint. That you begin to look at life from the Scripture. What is God saying to me today? Where is God directing me today? What does God want me to do with my life today? Every moment of every day, God has a plan for your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't recreate. I'm not saying that. That doesn't mean you can't have a good time. What I'm simply saying is that overall, the plan of God has a direction that He wants you to move in. And He has opportunities that He wants you to take. And He has a place that He wants you to be. So if you understand that, then you're going to have the most phenomenal life in this world. Because you could sit down and you could draw a plan out for your life and you could say, if I achieve these things, I would be happy. But then, if you let the Lord draw it out, if you let the Lord take care of it, it would be so much more than what you could ever believe. You couldn't even get close to comprehending what He has for you. So, how do you learn about that? Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke, the imperative mood from the Greek New Testament, iro, take it up. Take up my zugos, my yoke, and learn from me. Learn. The Lord Jesus Christ imperatively demanded that His disciples learn from Him. What did they have to learn? They had to learn how to think. What they signed up for was not what they got. They thought they were going to issue in the kingdom. They had no idea they were going to wind up being criminals. They had no idea that their leader was going to be executed. And they had to learn to think in a different way. But He told them, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. And that was a metaphor for the bondage that they'll be under, which says it's much easier to carry the load that I'm going to give you than to carry the load of legalism the Pharisees put upon you. And you know, this is also true in the religious community. Because as I told you earlier, it costs you more to belong to some churches than to the local country club, and you got a lot less privacy. Unwarranted laws, unwarranted regulations, things that are not even found in the Bible. They have to be observed if you wish to remain a member in good standing. You know, I can give you illustrations of this, but simply tell you this, that church politics are a lot more vicious than political politics. Never forget that, because when you join some churches, you're expected to walk a certain line. And if you don't, well, you're not considered to be a very good Christian. I'm always amazed at that. And always amazed at the legalism that is still around today in the name of God. Now, we have new enemies in our new life. And there are three of them, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the world, the Bible tells us this, in regards to the world. Now, when someone talks about you being worldly, most of the time they're talking about you going out and going to a bar or going to R-rated movies or doing things that lost people do. And they say, oh, you're being worldly. That's not worldliness. Worldliness is an attitude. It's what you think. So here, listen to 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world. Well, is love an attitude? Is it respect for? Is it desire for? Yes. So if you respect the world, what the world offers, and you desire what the world offers, then what you're looking for is temporal happiness. because the world cannot offer you reality, real happiness. So the Bible goes on to say, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. Because if anyone is in love with the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, how do you know if you love God? That's a fair question. How do you know if you love God? And the Bible answers it in 1 John 5:3. If you love me, you will keep my mandates, and they're not hard. So here's one of them. Don't fall in love with the world. The world looks fantastic. I see these shows on television sometimes about lottery winners. And oh my goodness, I won the lottery, yay, and I bought this and I bought that and I gave money here and I gave money there. And listen, unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Somebody once asked Elvis Presley this question. They said, when you were young, you said you wanted to be rich and famous. And now you are, but are you happy? And Elvis Presley said these words, no, I'm lonely. You know, winning the lottery is not going to make you happy. It may change your environment, and it may change where you live or what you drive. But if you think that you're going to go out and buy those lottery tickets, that's fine. And that's not a sin. But if you think winning the lottery is going to make you happy, you're loving the world. You're wasting your time. If you think getting this or getting that is going to make you happy, you're wasting your time. People have all sorts of goals in life, and there's nothing wrong with achieving a goal as long as you understand something. It's not the source of your happiness. That's temporal. Happiness, the Bible says, belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. That's Luke 11:27-28. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins so that he might deliver us from this present evil age or the world. Galatians 1:4. So when we come to Christ, we're no longer in bondage to the world. We no longer depend on the world to make us happy. That's human viewpoint thinking. There's a new way to think. We renovate our thinking. And now we understand that God has a plan for us that is so much greater than what the world offers. Higher than what the world offers. In terms of wealth, not necessarily. In terms of achievement, not necessarily. But in terms of glorifying God, yes. You got to remember, you're only here for a short time. I mean, if you make it to be 80, you're lucky. But eternity is forever. And when you get before your Heavenly Father, you want to hear those words, well done, my good and my faithful servant. You're not going to hear those words if you're running around chasing the details of life all the time, thinking that that's what's going to make you happy. But when you learn God's word, when you apply it into your life, and you begin to think in terms of humility, then you will begin to see what our Lord intended for you to see. Your mission in life is to represent him. Your mission in life is to represent him to a world that's lost and dying. Someone who doesn't know Christ has no hope for the future. They only know this, that the lake of fire awaits them. But by coming to Jesus Christ and receiving him as their Savior, they are delivered. You have an opportunity to give people deliverance through faith in Jesus Christ. By explaining the gospel, by making clear the issues, and not telling them they ought to give up drinking, give up smoking, give up this, give up that to be saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. And it's a gift of God, not of works. So don't lay out something that people, you think they have to do. All they need to do is exactly what the Bible says. He that believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believes not, the wrath of God abideth on him already. What did Jesus say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There are three sources of naivete in the believer's life. Three sources of naivete in the believer's life. Number one, the ignorance of the reality of the situation you find yourself in, or the ignorance of your circumstances, or you rejecting the true facts of life. See, this is what arrogance does. Arrogance paints a different picture than what you think. If you're involved in arrogance, I promise you, you won't see what you really are. You will see what you think you are. Because arrogant people have an unrealistic self-image. And when they have that unrealistic self-image, they have unrealistic expectations. In other words, they want you to treat them in a way they're not worthy of being treated because they think they're something they're not. Arrogant people always justify why they are right and you are wrong. Arrogant people always are self-induced miserable. They create their own misery. Why? Because they're blind to who they are. They have self-justification and self-deception. They deceive themselves. And they divorce from the reality of the situation. This is how so many people wind up going to hell, even though they're religious. They join a church, they pay some tithe, and they think they're going to heaven. They think they're following God's plan. And as long as they put that money in the offering plate, sometimes in some churches, that's all it takes. Not all churches, but in some churches. But that's not the Christian life. The way you accept Christ is you simply come to Him, and in your own words, you say, Father, I am believing in Jesus Christ. I want to receive Him as my Savior. And the Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them God gave the life to become the sons of God. God, this is what it is. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can do that in a car. You can do that, as a friend of mine said, he knew someone that did it in the bathtub. You can do it in your bed at night. You can accept Christ anywhere. I have seen thousands of students accept Christ in the bleachers. That's right, in the bleachers of a gym. They don't have to come forward. They don't have to join anything. They don't have to raise their hand. They just have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, that's not what people may tell you. They may tell you that you've got to go through a series of religious hoops and you've got to jump the hoops. That's not what the Bible says. So look at your life and answer this one simple question before this show's over today. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Would you? You know, the Bible says these things are written so that you might know that you have eternal life. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. 1 John 5. If you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And how did you get Him? By faith, to as many as received Him. To them God gave the right to become His children, even to them that just believe in His name. If Christ is in you, He said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. He said that. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. So if you have indeed accepted Christ, you should have a realistic idea that you are going to heaven, not based on something you did, but based on what He did on the cross for you, paying the penalty for your sin, redeeming you out of the slave market of sin. You simply accepted it by faith. You know, there's another source of naivete in the believer's life, and that's when you're influenced or inspired by the wrong people or led astray by even the right people. Don't get your eyes on people. Don't put your eyes on people. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Every person you know has a sin nature, even your wife or your husband or your children. If you think that people are always going to be fair, If you think people are always going to be trustworthy, you don't understand the human nature. So don't get your eyes on people. And don't be influenced by someone because they appear to be godly. That is the biggest joke that comes down the pipe. I met this guy, he talks so godly. Sometimes people with an English accent talk that way. They'll talk like this, and they'll say, "Brother, may the Master bless you." And you hear that stuff, and you think, boy, that guy's close to God. Listen to how he sounds. How a person sounds, or how they dress, or how they look, has nothing to do with them being correct. Accuracy is the issue. And if you want to learn God's Word, you better learn from someone that teaches it correctly without anything attached to it. And the third problem that we have in being naive about is arrogance being defined as not just a single sin, but a combination of sins. And therefore, arrogance is a corrupting power. Mental attitude sins, jealousy, bitterness, vindictiveness, these things kind of form a blind spot in you, and you can't really see what you are. They can form a blind spot in leaders, political leaders, who have their own agenda and who will think that if you don't believe in their agenda, that you're the enemy. Blind spots, personal flaws, these are things that all people have, and the arrogance is the root of it. It's not just a single sin. It's a complete way of thinking apart from the plan of God, apart from the will of God. It's human viewpoint thinking. And every time it runs contrary to the will of God, I assure you. These are a lot of things to think about. The world and the flesh, your enemy, the flesh. Yeah, you got one. And Galatians 5 says, "But I say, keep on walking by means of the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust of the flesh." And of course, the devil. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 to put on the armor of God so we can stand against the strategy that Satan throws at us. There's a lot to talk about in those two things, and maybe we'll get back to that next week. But I hope you're listening, and I hope you're learning. And I hope you're right. Stay in touch. I love hearing from you. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.